It's time now for The Way We Hear It.
Yes, this is The Way We Hear It. All the news, scoops, and rumors from around the National Football League, many of them before they've even happened. I am Hub Arkish, the editor and general manager at PFW, along with our associate editor, Nate Atkins. And Nate's story brewing out of Dallas, Texas, where earlier this week, their third-round draft pick, Malik Collins, out of Nebraska, suffered a broken right foot. He actually broke the fifth metatarsal, which is the same injury that Dez Bryant suffered during the season last year. He will be out 10 to 12 weeks. It seems almost certain that he will have to start the 2016 season on the PUP list, which will cost him the first 6 weeks of the season unless he makes a miraculous comeback. He will minimally start training camp on the PUP list. And the big issue here is the risk that Jerry Jones took to be Jerry Jones. Everybody knew going into the offseason that they had to get a backup quarterback and they had to fix the defense. If Tony Romo can play, the offense isn't that bad. And what does he do with the fourth overall pick? He leaves Jalen Ramsey on the board. He leaves a bunch of great defensive players there and takes Ezekiel Elliott. Then in the second round, takes Jaylon Smith, who I love. It may be a great pick, and in a couple of years, he could be a perennial All-Pro, but he's not playing until at least 2017. He drafts Collins in the third round, probably overdrafted him a little bit, had a disappointing last year at Nebraska. Then they find out that both starting defensive ends, Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence, are suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season. They had hoped to move Tyrone Crawford out to defensive end. They can't do that now. Cowboys are in a world of hurt on defense, at least for the first quarter to third of the season.
Yeah, and the situation with the rest of their defensive line is what mitigates this as far as Malik Collins goes, because he's not your prototypical pass rush type as an inside player, more of a run stuffer, but they need that. They finished 25th in sacks last year. DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory are both currently suspended, and Jerry Jones kind of just has – he wanted the second round to be the time to address that pass rush, and reports were out that he wanted Emmanuel Ogba, who ended up going to Cleveland, and so then he sort of reached for Jalen Smith because he really wanted that guy. But right now, as it stands at this moment, the – Cowboys don't have a guy that they spent a top three pick on who's available to help that defense, which needs a lot of improvement right now. So it's just a world of hurt, quite literally, for the Dallas Cowboys.
Nate, there's a story brewing in Chicago, according to our sources. Of course, Alshon Jeffrey went into a contract last year, missed 7 games due to soft tissue injuries, and yet he's a guy who in 4 years in the league has 2 Pro Bowl appearances. The Bears hung a franchise tag on Jeffrey. He has, in fact, signed that tag. He will play for the Bears for this year for $14.5 million. They have reportedly been talking about a long-term deal, but we can't really confirm any actual progress in those negotiations. Jeffrey has chosen to stay away from the Bears' offseason program and the OTAs, and in fact has said it's not about a contract, it's not that he's trying to hold out, it's nothing to do with it, he's just more comfortable working out in Florida. But then this past week, he comes to Chicago to throw out the first pitch and sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" in the 7th inning stretch at Wrigley Field, does a personal promotion appearance, and doesn't bother to check in with the team, goes right back to Florida. Well, we now find out, according to a source, that John Fox was at Wrigley Field the same time that Alshon Jeffrey was. Apparently, Alshon ended up in the media dining cafe between the first pitch and the 7th inning, and in strolled John Fox. We're told that it was all very friendly, very amenable, but apparently Fox was overheard several times to say, well, you know, we wish we were here. If you were around the team, you'd know. And so it has to really make you wonder, how did Fox just suddenly show up in the media cafeteria at Wrigley Field on the day that Alshon Jeffrey was going to be there? A number of his teammates, they're not calling him out, but they're not thrilled about him not being with the team. Ryan Pace, the GM, John Fox, who said, we've made it clear, we wish he was here. This is a situation that suggests strongly that Alshon Jeffrey may not want to be in Chicago, even though he continues to say the opposite.
Yeah, it certainly makes you wonder, and you're right, John Fox didn't just magically stumble into Alshon Jeffrey in a press box, but it really feels like a PR move when you see them post a photo of Fox and Jeffrey smiling together at the Cubs game. But I'm not sure that really quells the fears that Bears fans have right now. I mean, you're wondering, if this guy is coming back and throwing out the first pitch and singing "Take Me Out of the Ball Game," why can't he go to the OTAs the next day? And so right now you're looking at a guy who, he knows he's trying to earn a long-term deal. He wants it with the Bears, but he knows he might not get it with the Bears. And so what he needs to do is have 1 year where he stays healthy and can produce as a number one receiver. That was a role he stepped into last year when Brandon Marshall went out of town to the Jets, and it's a role that he was really impressive in moments, but he just wasn't all that available and only scored 4 touchdowns. And so he knows that the Bears might not give in to his demands for a contract. Ryan Pace has been pretty free dealing as far as sending guys out of town and not paying up for them to keep them here, the guys who've been around for a little bit. So he's got to go out and produce. And if he thinks there's a risk in the OTAs with these soft tissue injuries you're seeing happen around the league, things that happened to him last year, you can kind of understand why he wants to avoid it.
Nate, one other story making the rounds this week. It won't go away. The Raiders to Las Vegas. People starting to assume that it's got legs, that it could be a done deal. According to our sources, it's exactly the opposite. There is a chance that the Raiders end up in Vegas, but it's not even close so far. Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, has been told by the league he has to do the feasibility studies. He has to prove that the market can support an NFL team, that it can be a great market, not just a good one. The city of Las Vegas still has to confirm where $750 million in public funding for a new stadium is coming from, and Mark Davis has to confirm where the $500 million that he's committed to a new stadium is coming from. And then we have an awkward press conference by Mayor Carolyn Goodman of Vegas this week, where she started out by saying that her and her husband have been 42-year-old San Diego Chargers season ticket holders, and with all the real estate development the Spanos family has done in Vegas, it seems strange to her that it's the Raiders they're talking to, but they are talking to the Raiders. So you almost wonder if the mayor wasn't reaching out to Spanos as well. He's not likely to take the bait. There are a number of owners who can get over the gambling aspect of Vegas, but they're not even close to agreeing that one of the five smallest, or what would be one of the five smallest markets in the NFL, is ready for an NFL team.
Yeah, and there's some additional obstacles even beyond the many that you listed. I mean, right now, they're trying to, as you mentioned, trying to come up with the money and the public funds to pay for this, but they're relying on the state legislature to pass the hotel room tax revenue. And as we know, in Vegas, they make a lot of revenue off that, but it has to be a legal situation there right now. And even beyond that, the 42-acre area that they're looking at to put a stadium in, it's reportedly, you know, might have some issues with the runways of the airport that's nearby. So there's a lot of logistical steps here. It doesn't sound like something that the owners will veto, even though that's been tossed around, if there will be enough owners who have sort of a moral objection to a team in Las Vegas. They're going to need 9 of those, and it only sounds like maybe 5 would be actually opposed to it. But between the area coming up with the public funds for it, finding a place for it, and then really believing in Mark Davis pumping his money into it when it is a smaller market. It's a lot of obstacles there, and you can kind of see how that translates into the mayor coming out and sort of putting feelers out for other potential teams, because she has said over and over again, we want a pro team in Las Vegas, and it seems to not just be the Raiders. They just want to find one however they can.
All right, Nate, that is the way we hear it from Pro Football Weekly for this week. For all of our Pro Football Weekly podcasts, you can subscribe on iTunes, or you can catch our podcasts at profootballweekly.com.